Welcome to Freedom Trainer Radio, the podcast where we interview top-level fitness entrepreneurs from all over the world. Here's your host, AJ Rivera.
All right. AJ Rivera here with my dude, Corey Gladwell. Welcome to Freedom Trainer Radio. And today's episode, we're going to talk about playing the long game versus the short game. So, Corey, thanks for being here, dude. I appreciate you sacrificing so much of your life to do things with me.
Thanks for having me, man. Mm-hmm.
So, so basically what we were talking about before we started hitting record here was the difference in business. And we want to talk about fitness business, but I think this really applies to all businesses. I want to keep this a specific podcast, but I think this one is one that applies to all sorts of businesses, and that's the difference in playing the short game versus playing the long game, and kind of, what that actually even means, and what are some of the pitfalls you can find yourself in as a business owner if you're not playing, I guess, the long game is what our thesis or hypothesis would be. Corey, can you kind of explain the difference between that stuff really quick? Like, I feel like you're more articulate than I am, which is why I want you here. for anybody listening really quick who's not exactly sure what you mean.
Yeah, so like with the short game, it's like, hey, I can kind of hustle up, you know, some cash this week or this month and you know, do a 10K month or do a, you know, quick 5,000 influx of cash or, you know, some kind of quick kind of hustle. But it's not really a set up business or like long-term structure. And then a long game is more like building sustainable, predictable, you know, systemized, you know, income and revenue for a company. And then and kind of planning that out and thinking more long-term with it, that gets you kind of lasting success versus just short-term gains.
Yeah, so I think that's a really, again, articulate summary of what they are. And so I think what we see a lot in both fitness business and actually online businesses a lot are people, they're so focused on the short game, which is just like making cash now. They're not really thinking about 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years from now. They're not really thinking about their business like a business, right? And so those are some of, for me, some of the big cons of only looking at your short game and not thinking long term. I've seen this, and I understand where it comes from, because when I owned a gym, all you're thinking is, how am I going to pay for rent? And because it's a service industry, right, you're just thinking of the money almost going straight into your pocket, right? So you're thinking of your own paycheck. You're forgetting that what you have is a potential for like a real business that can run without you. And that's, I think the being broke is what keeps people in the short game, because they're just trying to get out of being broke like as quickly as humanly possible. But once you're out of that, I think you need to start thinking of your long game. If you can't start that way, at least shift that way. I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that, man? Like, how do you get out of that mindset of I need cash now, where you're also making sure you're building a cash flow positive business?
Yeah, I think it's a tough struggle, because like when you're in scarcity and like you're in that broke person mindset, you know, you're obviously like, you just need cash, you need cash. If I only had 10 grand, everything would be fine. And you kind of like fantasize about this, whatever your specific number is, right? Like you fantasize about that number. And once you have that number, then how, like somehow magically your life's going to be perfection and heaven on earth if you just have 10 grand, or if you just get to 20 grand, like somehow it's going to be, everything's going to be fine. And that comes from a scarcity mindset. And so you can't really, like, you're very limited in that thinking. So you can't really think past that. Like, what happens once you have that? How does your life look? How does your business look? Like, what's the next move? And so even if you need to, like, you need to hustle to like pay your bills, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying, like, I think we both agree, like, don't just stop trying to make money to pay your bills and like then pontificate about the long game. That's not what I think either of us are saying. Like,
no.
You know, but at the same token, like think about it all the way through. Like, okay, I'm going to hustle this week and make my 5 or 10 grand or whatever. But then once I get that, like, what's my next move? How am I going to like have longevity? How am I going to consistently do this? You know, is it sustainable is another thing. Like a lot of people hustle and work, you know, 12, 16 hour days. for 5 days and they're on burnout. And like, is that sustainable? Like, can you do that and make that level of income with the amount of hours you're putting in? Is that really going to work? And if it's not, you need to kind of rethink your strategy, your packaging, your pricing, your time versus, you know, income versus impact versus like outcome. Like, all of that needs to kind of be rethought. And so you can still hustle while you rethink that, but like, spend some time kind of thinking about how you can map this out in a way that's sustainable and predictable and like, you know, on repeat, you know?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think it really depends on what the goal is too with your business. And I mean, everything always comes down to that, right? Like, if right. you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you're just going to kind of be shooting from the hip, trying to grab as much money as you can, not really thinking about long-term, right? And so I think, sorry about that. That's my phone dinging. But I think with the, when you're thinking about long game, you have to know, well, what game are you playing? If you're just trying to have a lifestyle business where maybe you make six figures or maybe multiple six figures, but you don't really have a business plan, you kind of just do like just thinking about tomorrow, I think you can probably perpetually play the short game. If you're in it just as a cash grab, like there are people who are like openly in it, not openly, they're kind of hiding, but like they're in it for the cash. They're not, they don't care about people. They don't care about building a business. They know it's eventually going to go away. I mean, maybe you could just play the short game, I guess, but I think you need to be self-aware enough to know that this has an end date then, as opposed to thinking about the long-term decisions of building a company that can last for many years, that is sellable, that is investable. And I think when you're a little bit more honest with that, it helps inform your decisions for today, whether you're wanting to just like stockpile as much cash as now, because eventually, you know, top of mind right now is I had somebody message me a couple of days ago who was like, hey, I didn't invest in your program, AJ, because it was expensive, so I went with these other guys and they scammed me. And I was like, well, dude, come on, man. Like, I'm like, this is like, on one token, I'm like, I feel bad that you got scammed, and I don't know what advice I would give you, because like, you don't deserve to be scammed just because you're cheap or because you are making bad decisions. But at the same time, it's kind of like a lesson, maybe. Like, you instead of looking for the best, right? And it doesn't even have to be like, it sounds like such a bloated statement to say, or an arrogant statement to be like, well, instead of looking for the best, like, I gave them a list of like 10 other people who are direct competitors of ours. And I was like, all these people are legitimate human beings that you can work with, and they'll help you, and they care, right?
Right.
And, but they're all expensive because they all know what they're doing. Like, and so you can go to them, but if you're going to go to some people who, if they're selling you based on the fact that they're cheaper, what does that tell you about the actual service? Like, that's where my struggle is. Like, if you're buying from people who are only focused on the short game, it's kind of your own fault. And I know I'm getting off track here. It's just very top of mind for me. That's kind of what, I thought of when we were talking about this. I'm like, people like that are just really thinking, how much money can I take from people today?
Well, I think that's a good topic to bring up, though, because I think when you work with, like, as a consumer, when you work with someone who's thinking about the long game, like, there's a trust factor there. There's a belief. There's a, like, consistency, like, reliability. Like, that they're in it to win it for the long haul. Like, they want to be in business for years. So, like, you know, it's something where you can actually trust and believe in them. And we've talked about that, like, even with Facebook ads managers is a prime example of this. Mm-hmm. Like, there's probably 1,000 different Facebook ads managers on the internet, at least, that are actually running ads and campaigns that you could pick from on any given day. But like, how many of them have a legit, like business that's what they do? That's their thing. That's their like business. Mm-hmm. And so like, when you pick someone who's just like, oh yeah, you know, I ran some ads here and there for the thing and whatever, but I, you know, also not really doing it, it's like, then it's almost like, are they really going to do the best job for you? Because they don't really care if they have that, like, you sign up again next month, because they might be doing something different. So like, you know, like with us, with the, like, having the media company, it's like, we have an actual media company. It's an arm division of our mother company, and it runs, you know, dozens and dozens of clients. And, you know what I mean? There's media buyers, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's a company. So it's like, that's the difference between this, like, some fly by night kid that's like, yep, I bought a course about how to sell Facebook ads, and I'm going to sell Facebook ads, and I have one client, and you're going to be my second client until I change my mind and do something different. And that's the short term versus long term. As a consumer, that's kind of what you sign up for. You do get scams, or you do get, not even necessarily, not everyone's a scam, but you also get people that are just in it for a quick buck and don't really care about long-term results for you because they don't care about renewing you as a client, you know?
That's super important. I'm glad we're off track because I think this is a more important conversation. That there's a lot of, I mean, there's a million people right now who are like, learn how to launch your 10K per month agency, right? But like, don't just listen to what people are saying. Watch what they're actually doing. Like, are they running an ads agency? And I'll listen to their language, 10K per month, meaning I sold 5 to 10 people this month. But that doesn't mean they built a six-figure business. They might have had all those people fire them and they, or half of them fire them because they weren't able to deliver on the results. And yeah. there's this short-term, like, there was some idiot the other day posted on the internet or whatever, on Facebook, that I'm going to get on the Facebook ads gold mine. I'm like, this is, like, such a short window, and you're going to make money today, quit your job, and not have a job, like, not have a business in 6 months because you're going to get beat by yeah. the David Schlosses and the Peter Scabos and the Anthony Sarandreas and the Joey Alters of the world. They're like the real media buyers who know what they're doing, right? Like they're you're just going to get blown away. And the only people who are going to have standing even a chance are the people who hired them to teach them how to run, how to buy media correctly. So I think it's there's like a certain amount of dishonesty in it too. Like learning today how to use ClickFunnels or learning how to use Facebook ads and going tomorrow. And I understand every expert was once a novice. I totally get that. But like, there's something a little sleazy about, hey, I just sold somebody an ad campaign. Can anybody teach me how to run ads for them? Like, wait. You took, you know, $2,000 from a small business owner because you said you could get them more leads and you actually don't know how you can get them leads. Like,
yeah.
This is there's something off to me about that. I don't know. Like, I get that you have to learn to become that, but I don't know. Do a couple people for free or for real cheap and get some results and then raise your price and say, listen, I'm going to do it for free for a month. And if I do a good job, then you can pay me. Like, something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the solution is. I just know that it's an issue and it's going to, like, there are people right now quitting their jobs who won't have, like, to start quote-unquote businesses, which is them hanging out behind Facebook Ads Manager, and they won't have a business in 6 months. So I don't know what the solution is there, you know?
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. Like, it's fine if you want to be a consultant and have be, like, the go-to in-between person, but, like, have your company set up. Like, have your expert at Facebook ads there. Have your, you know, funnel builder there. Like, have your team built before you start taking money from people. Like, I know, you know my story. Like, I spent like a year doing things mm-hmm. for free, building mm-hmm. funnels for free, running ads for free. Like, I did all everything digital media, like digital marketing, internet marketing, like all these things. I studied, I spent thousands of dollars learning how to do, mm-hmm. then spent like months and months and months doing it for free, then built inside people's programs, then like coached other people's people, and then, you know what I mean, like, then mm-hmm. built up a like $250,000 coaching business, then built my own programs, then, you know, wrote three of my own books before teaching anyone how to write their own book, you know what I mean, like mm-hmm. like that's the kind of, like, I guess old school mentality that, like, a lot of people are kind of like skipping over. Like, they want to go from not knowing anything and not doing anything to being like this top producing person without any in between time. Like, you know, that's, it doesn't work that way. You don't get your degree in whatever you want to get in with just snapping your fingers and saying, because I said so. Like, it doesn't mean that you first stripes, you know?
No, I think that's super important. And I'll toot your horn even more because there's something special about, like, Corey as a human, as who spent literally a year basically working for free. He went and helped people for free, built people's funnels for free, ran people's ads for free, didn't ask for anything, didn't say, hey, at the end, I'll, you give me $500. He probably could have, but, and he'd have a little six-figure business that he hates because it wouldn't have been his actual passion, which is writing and coaching people and marketing. And he would be further away from that because he'd be kind of pigeonholing right. himself in a position that he doesn't want to be in, which is essentially a permanent freelancer instead of an entrepreneur business owner, right? And there's something to that mindset where now, like, first of all, if Corey ever needs a job, like, I know Corey wants to work with me because if he needed a job, he'd go work with anybody else. anybody else would hire him in 2 seconds because he's very talented in what he's done, and he's been able to grow companies dramatically, right? So there's a certain amount of freedom that now he has as an individual forever, right? Like, he can obviously start companies like that, but he'll never not have a position that pays him well. Like, he just won't. And that comes from a year of free work and connecting with people. And did you see JP Sears released a video on the how to be a millennial or something recently?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah.
There's like this sense of entitlement for whatever reason, for people who were born, 84 or later, like in 1984 or later, who just think they deserve everything because of who they are, because they're special, right? And I think we're starting to see the real after effects of that with people who are like, I deserve to have a six-figure business because, right? And I exist, yeah. And so you're welcome, world. Give me six figures a year minimum. And it's not to say not anybody can get it. Anybody can get it if they're willing to work for it. And I 100% believe that. But there is this entitlement of, I'm going to do the minimum work, and I'm going to get all the glory and all the money and all the fame, and people are going to think I'm so special, and then they'll finally understand me. And nobody else gets me because I'm an entrepreneur. I grew up in the suburbs in an upper middle class home, and now I want, a six-figure business without going to college, right? Like, this is just right. Like, I feel like I see it all over, and this is part of the reason the people who are scams, and there's just programs that aren't scams. Like, there are legit programs out there, right? But I think that's why they're so appealing, because it jumps onto that millennial mindset a little bit, in a way. And I know JP Sears is joking, and, you and I are both millennials. I think we both are millennials, right? You're under 35. Yeah, we're both technically millennials by the category, right? And they're... I do get that a little bit. I feel like me personally, I had to kind of work through those feelings in order to be like an actual business owner and humble myself to grow companies. Otherwise, you wouldn't work here because you're too smart, and it may make me feel not special enough. Nor would Amanda or Cahal, because they're really smart, and they're going to make me feel dumb. And Mike wouldn't work here because he's too intelligent, he's too ambitious, right? And so I think that fear comes with it. I don't know. Am I off base here?
Yeah. No, you're right on. And I think that's the one thing that I think that like separates those who have successful businesses as millennials or any age really, but like between those who don't, because the one thing that I think I love this about millennials. I love that they believe they can achieve anything, they can have anything, they can be anything. Like the amount of belief they have in deserving or feeling worth it is phenomenal compared to any other generation before them, which I think is a beautiful thing, but only when paired with a strong work ethic like the older generations had. Like, older generations would work all day, every day, put their nose to the grindstone and like just do it and not complain and not like get upset about it. They would just do it, and they would do it for themselves, for their family, for whatever. They would work and work and work. And so when you combine like that belief in yourself that you can achieve anything with that old school work ethic, then I think that combination is deadly. And I think that combination really can make anything happen. And I know I've had to work that too, where like, I'm just like, I've had that feeling of like, I exist, therefore I deserve everything, which is like, spiritually speaking, is beautiful that you can like have that kind of thought and have that level of abundance. But you have to also like spend years. Like, it took me 5 years to write my first book. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no mentor. I had no one to turn to. And I just wrote, I just figured it out. And now I can pump one out in 60 days. But I had to learn through trial and through doing it. And I think, to add to that, like, you almost rob yourself if someone gives it to you, or if it happens too easy, like, you almost get robbed of the experience of actually earning it, because the sense of I can have anything versus I've earned everything is way different. And I think is a much better like experience of a deeper appreciation when you've actually walked through the fire and actually earned that on the other side. I think that is something that I wouldn't want to steal from anyone, and why I don't just like make it this easy. Like, I think why like a lot of people that know the secret don't just like give it out to them, because it's like when you earn it, like it's just, it's a whole other game. And then you really can have a, that long game mentality like we were talking about initially, because you actually appreciate what you worked for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what it is. We get obsessed with, because these quick things are available to us thanks to the world of social media, where people get thousands of followers overnight because of a viral video, or build a six-figure business because they said, catch me outside on Dr. Phil, right? Like, because there's these short-term things that now exist, we become obsessed with that instead of go ahead and try to do that or do a little bit of that. But also do the things that lead to a long-term business. Like, nobody wants to wake up. Like, I had this problem with some of my first mentoring clients in fitness business, where I, you know, showed them how to use, like, Facebook ads correctly, right, and get leads in that way. And that seemed so simple that they didn't want to do the harder things, right? They didn't want to do, you know, like booths at fitness festivals, and they didn't want to do bring a friend campaigns, and they didn't want to do contests, and they didn't want to create content even. They just wanted to, like, they're like, just teach me another magical Facebook ad so I don't have to do anything. And I'm like, that's not how the world works. Like this will get you cash flow positive. You can use this for, like, I mean, we did it for years, right? But you should also put in those long-term things so that if that traffic source gets knocked out, right, and then you have something else to fall back on, because you don't have a business if all of your traffic is dependent on one source. You just don't.
If you really, like, if we really – that's the one thing I think a lot of people maybe aren't aware of, but there's probably, like, multiple, like, hundreds, if not maybe thousands of, like, small business owners or entrepreneurs or internet marketers, or, you know, from thousandaires to millionaires that are going to go bust when Facebook switches up something, when they change the algorithm, when they hike up the ad cost because the real estate's, you know, covered and there's too much taken. Like, when things go haywire, like, it's, there's going to be a lot of people losing it because they don't have other avenues set up. They don't have a YouTube or Google or even a, like, an in-person, or, you know, all these different things. And that's why I think a lot of people miss that. And it's like, you don't want to get shiny object syndrome and try to do everything at once, but you also want to have that long game mentality of, like, do the hard work, do the thing that isn't always easiest. Yeah, you can get the quick dollar, but you have to set up, like, leverage, like, things over and over again to make sure you're covering all bases. So if one thing goes down, like, you still have these four or five other things, and not just, you know, rely on that one thing and get your, like, and you and I both know, like, internet marketer people who have a course or a program that, like, if Facebook changes one day, like, they're done. You know what I mean? Like,
they are. One, yeah. Switch.
Yeah.
And people, like, if, and we're talking about internet marketers, but if people are trying to get into internet marketing right now, right, I think it's already a lot more expensive than it was even a year ago to get in. I think a year ago there were applications for, like, how to learn how to coaching, or how to, you know, so basically how to build a webinar or how to build a BSL and sell coaching, right? Like, there were trainings like that that said their applications were like, do you have at least $1,000 to spend on Facebook ads? And that was a year ago when there was half the amount of advertisers that there are today. So the thing is with the Facebook advertising is the barrier to entry is so much higher than it was before, right? And from a year ago, where you could kind of bootstrap it and maybe get lucky and grow a business, today it's not happening. And where, you know, people are trying to quote unquote, like, funnel hack other people, right? You're not the only person trying to funnel hack that one guy or gal. And so what's happening is you're not only driving up their costs, which sucks, but you're driving up your own costs. And what's happening is you guys are actually outbidding all of yourselves out of the market. And right. That's what I've seen happen. And so if you don't have any money to go deep down the Facebook ads rabbit hole or any direct response, right, YouTube, anything, right, you're going to end up just quitting, or maybe trying to run a free Facebook group and getting a few little clients here and there. You're going to have to find something else to work for you. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at with that, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's the big thing that people don't realize is that you kind of have to think about the long game. And you know, like one of the questions that one of my coaches asked me, like, I thought it was going to be like all like marketing and we're going to dive right into like launches and we're going to talk about, you know, all these different things with, you know, things that were totally to me, what was relevant to the coaching. Yeah. And the first question he asked me was, what do you want your legacy to be? And I'm like, mind blown. You're like, I was like,
no, well, dude, that's a really, really important question, man. Because if not, you're just growing for the sake of growing. Like,
right.
And you're going to lose motivation.
And that's that like short game, long game thing, right? Like, do you want to just be a freelancer and take up a bunch of business and like whoever asks you to do something or whoever will pay you to do things, you'll just do things like, and then like you end up hating your life like a year from now because you're like, you're making money, but your time is full of things that don't actually bring you any joy. You know what I mean? Like, and don't actually make you fulfilled or happy. It's like, and that's the one thing, like what, even with, you know, the fitness business, like, you know, you can like sign up, join us and like do our coaching program and you can have all the clients in the world, which is no problem. But like, how do you want to structure your time? Do you want to be in person or do you love training in person? Do you want to be online? Like, mm-hmm. do you want to, you know, like what does that look like? Do you want multiple locations? Like, and if you don't think those things through of like what really is going to be fulfilling to you and like what you really want to leave behind, you're going to like just take whatever comes to you and like whatever money you can make and not really build this like lasting, sustainable, long game type business and life, you know? And that's what I think a lot of people miss is having that mentality.
And you're to add to that, cause you're 100% right. You're going to be perpetually dissatisfied because what's going to happen is you're like, okay, I just want to make $1,000 online or in my personal training business. I want to make $1,000 this one personal training. You make it and you're like, okay, now I want to make $10,000. And it's like, right. Okay. And then you're like, okay, now I want $20,000. And you're like, 20,000. I don't really feel that happy yet. Maybe once I get to 30,000, I'll be happy. And you get to 30,000, you're like, you know, this still kind of sucks. Maybe once I get to 40,000, I'm officially a 1%er, then I'll be happy. And what happens is you just end up perpetually seeking more out of pure, like just randomness, right? You're going out of pure despair or seeking something because you didn't think about what the point of your business is, right? Do you want to serve 100 people? Do you want to travel the world? Like, you can think about non-business goals and have them relate to your business, right? There, you and I know this. We have several friends who just want to be able to, like, be a nomad. Go off the grid whenever they want, come back whenever they want. And so their business reflects that lifestyle. Could they systemize it more and have a specific follow-up sequence and online marketing? They could, but they don't because that doesn't match their lifestyle. And they're very self-aware of what they want. And if you're not self-aware of what you want, you're just going to keep searching for more. Because your entire identity is, okay, well, I'm still miserable or I'm still unsatisfied with my business. I still feel like a failure. And you're just going to keep comparing yourselves to other people. You're going to say, this guy's got more money than me. Maybe I need to make as much as him. Oh, I made it this level. Maybe this other girl, she makes more money than me. Maybe I need to make as much as her. And then I'll be – and you're just perpetually upset. And then what happens is you self-destruct. You self-destruct your own business. You cannibalize it yourself. You force yourself back into it to feel important. And then you limit its growth. And I just keep seeing that happening where people are like, 10X, baby. I'm going to go for, you know, I just made $100,000. Now I'm going to do $1 million a month. Why? Like, that's cool if you want to do $1 million. But why do you want to do $1 million a month?
Yeah.
Why? Because what if you have, if it's just that you want more stuff, your life – probably isn't going to change that much unless you like all the extravagant things. Making $100,000 a month versus making $1 million a month.
And that's the thing I think people miss. Like, I'm happy my life turned out how it did when I was younger. Like, when I was 23, I owned a nightclub, a restaurant, a vodka brand. I traveled to Vegas every month, had every nice car, like, had all the stuff that, like, you, like, everyone thinks they want, right? Everyone thinks, like, I get the things and the people and places and, like, I'll be happy. And I was miserable. Like, mm-hmm. after, like, on the way to getting it, I was like, yeah, I'm excited. And once I got it, I was like empty. Like, I was like, there's nothing here. Like, there, it's a never ending pit of like desire that's never going to be fulfilled. And so, like, I think that's like, I'm glad I figured that out then, like in the first half of my 20s, so I could like actually build lasting fulfillment. But I think that that's the problem is that people don't have a reason. Like, it's fine to make as much money as you want and have as many things as you want. as long as you have like an actual like substance behind that, like a reason of fulfillment behind that, like a striving why that's going to carry you past that. Because the truth is, you're going to get the things. You're going to, like, as long as you keep going, you're going to get the cars or the money or the women or the affection or the status or the recognition, whatever the thing is you're chasing, you can eventually get it. But if you don't have a reason bigger than that thing, like, what's going to happen is that you're going to get it and you're going to be super empty. And that's where I think you, like, you're talking about the self-sabotage. That's where that comes in, because once you get it and you there's like a disillusionment of, like, you know, like, I thought at this point I would be so, like, fulfilled, and you're like, wait, life goes on. Like, life continues, and, like, it doesn't just stop once I reach the pinnacle. Like, that that's the hard part. Then there's a disillusionment, then they get frustrated and down, and everything kind of goes down from there. So I think it's good to, like, keep that up and have that bigger reason why behind you the whole time, regardless of what you're chasing.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you forget why you got into business and, like, in the first place. Like, all of us go into business not for the sake of going into business. There's some sort of outcome we want out of it, right? It's like nobody works out just to work out. They work out for an outcome, whether it's they feel healthier, their blood pressure goes down, they look hot, they get giant, they win the, you know, Olympics. They're not working out just to work out. Even people are like, oh, I work out to lower my stress and it makes me feel like that's the outcome you're looking for. Right? Even if you're not there for a physical reason, you're there for an outcome that isn't just to work out, right? And we forget that the business is the same way. You're not doing business for the sake of doing business. You're doing it because you want some sort of outcome. Maybe it's a certain amount of freedom. It's usually, I feel like, freedom, money, or impact. Like, those are the things people tend to go for, right? And I would lump legacy under impact, right? And if you forget why you got into it, you're going to get upset. Because now you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing anymore, right? Some people get into business, they just want to provide for their families. That's fine. But then don't forget that that's why you did it in the first place, right? Like, right. Don't forget about your family and then say, why am I so miserable? I never spent time with my family and working so much. And that, well, because you're going for, you know, $1 million a month when really, what do you and your, like, what do you and your family need to be happy? Not right. Probably $1 million. Advice from a millionaire and a multimillionaire and a billionaire friend. That's obviously anecdotal. It's one case, right? They said, you want to live the life you want to live, which could be the most ostentatious life with fancy cars, traveling all over, having homes all over the place. He's like, you probably need 60 grand a month. That's what you need. And personal income, which is a lot of money, right? But it's not this, you don't need to be a millionaire. And this is if you wanted to have fancy houses everywhere, fancy cars in all those houses, travel in private jets. And they're like, listen, you can only live in one house at a time. You can only right. drive one house at a time.
Right.
Or drive one car at a time, not drive one house. You can only drive one car at a time. You can only vacation to one place at a time. So at a certain point, you could have the 70, 80, 100, 300, 500 million dollars a month, but your life's pretty much going to look the same, because even if you have 20 badass houses, you can only be at one of them at a time.
Yeah,
so,
it's not like 20 extra experience of the houses, and you just get one house per visit. You know, like, it doesn't.
Yeah. So anyway, that's like one anecdotal piece. And like when he told me that, and I was like, and he makes more money than that. Like, they both make more money, obviously, multimillionaire and billionaire. But I'm like, this is probably all you need, like, to live a pretty happy life. And I'm right. like, that's crazy, because it makes the bar a lot lower, I think.
And I think I feel like we've talked about that before, maybe not on a podcast, but just like talking, like, your freedom number, like, whatever that freedom number is, or that, like, life you want, like, people over exaggerate that so much. And I think, like, the 100K a month thing is, like, everyone's goal. Once they get 10K a month, it's like 100K a month. Like, all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, it's like, I'm broke, so I want 10K a month and I'll be free. They get 10K a month, and then all of a sudden they instantly want 100K a month. And, like, that's the freedom number. And it's like, you really don't need that. Like, if you really do the math on, like, the Airbnb and everywhere you want to travel in the world, and, like, mileage points for airlines, and, like, you know, cars you can rent or buy, like, or whatever, like, you really probably need a lot less than that if you really break it down to have whatever crazy life you want.
Right.
It's not as it seems. You're absolutely right.
Right. It just depends on what your goal is, right? Like, you and I have a mutual friend who wants to solve immortality and invest in robotics. So he wants to be a billionaire because it costs that much money to enter that industry. So that's like a very clear goal. And that's like, okay, so he's going to go for, you know, a business that does, you know, $1 billion. Like, but there's a mission attached to that goal, right? If you're just going for it because you think, like, it's just such an abstract number. Like, why a million? Would you not take $999,999? Like, is that not enough? Like, do you actually know how much you want, or are you just picking it because it sounds sexy? Because if your business is makes $1 million a year, then of course you're a millionaire. No, you're not. Like, you're probably paying yourself way less than $1 million a year, unless you're the stupidest business person ever, or you have a super successful lifestyle business. So, like, if you're very clear with what you want, it makes it a lot easier, I think, to reach, and you can build goals that feel representative. Because, like, my life right now, my life doesn't change if I make any more money if I make less money, obviously it does, but any more money than I pay myself, right? And that's why my goals are not really tied around what my stuff is. I want to, right now, all my goals are tied around making sure every person on my team can accomplish what they want to accomplish. And because of that, I have to set my bar higher. Right, but it also allows me to reinvest in growth and not worry about my personal life, because it turns out my bar is super low, like I didn't realize. So it's a lot easier, I think, to focus on those things and to actually make tangible goals. If like, let's say Corey wants to make $50,000 a month, because then he can drive his, you know, sweet car, you know, I don't know, hang out with models, you know, buy the bungalow nightclub, and right, all these cool things, right? And so what he can do is, when he goes from 10K to 20K, now he's like, okay, cool, I'm going to get the car. And when he goes from 20K to 30K, he's like, all right, cool, now I'm going to date this model. He goes from 30 to 40, he's like, all right, cool, now I'm going to look at real estate. And then he can give himself tangible, like, rewards for reaching those goals, because they're actually tied to something. They're tied to an outcome. They're not just abstract numbers he picked for fun.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I think, that when you have those tangible things, then it's like, you're not just making money like as an abstract thing. You're specifically setting targets, so you can like have your accomplishment on each level and each thing, and keep moving forward to go each thing. And that's, I think, big on businesses too. Like, when you have a business and you drive for quarterly goals or monthly targets or whatever it is, it's like you have a reason to get there, and then it pushes everything else. Because the reality is, like, just the money itself, like, if you don't know what you want to spend it on, like, I think we talked about this, but like, you're only going to like spend as much as you're only going to make as much as you're capable of spending.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I can't imagine spending like $100,000 on something, like, I'm going to have no reason to ever make $100,000, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and that's the thing, you have to have those like imaginations of what you're going to set that out to, and then you can actually like work your way up to it, you know?
Absolutely. I think too, that ties into, let's circle back and see if we can actually, like, you know, segue semi-naturally back to long game sort of decisions for businesses, right? If you're somebody who wants to build a business that's going to last a long time, what are some of the long game decisions that you've been making for our company and your companies, that are going to help it last? Because I know you have huge goals, years instead of months, right? What are some of the ways, I guess, the Fit Pros and entrepreneurs, because I know some entrepreneurs, like online entrepreneurs, listen to us. What are some things they can do now to start kind of playing that long game?
Yeah, so I think a big part that we just talked about, which I think just to touch on, is have your big why, like have your big reason behind you, your mission statement, your legacy, whatever it is, have that first, then map out what that dollar amount looks like, and then reverse engineer like backwards how you're going to get there. Like reverse engineer like backwards how to get those steps. Like have your year-long goal, your quarterly goals, like set that up, go backwards the whole way. And then I think like build your life, a, like in your the people in your life ingrained in that big vision, like mm-hmm. your team, like your whether it's like just you or you have a family working together or you have a business partner or an assistant or whatever it is, or other trainers or whatever it may be, like you want to connect all that together and make sure everyone's kind of bought into the culture of it and to the idea of it and the mission behind it. And then you guys can all work that and having like, you know, having like the goals aligned too with what you really want and then what your people really want, I think is another big piece to that, because then you're all like, everyone's going to be satisfied. Everyone's going to get the pie that they're looking for. Everyone's going to get the vision that they're looking for. Everyone's goals get met. Everyone's dreams get met. And then you get to work for what you want, plus everyone else works for what they want, and you guys all get to win. So I think that's kind of the big long-term thing. Doesn't, like I said before, like it doesn't mean you can't hustle short-term and make your cash, but like really map out that like 5-10 year like big vision thing. Like once you have the money, who are you going to be? Once you have the life, who are you going to be? Like, what do you want then? Like, think about that next step after your desire is hit, and really make sure that it's lasting, because that's I think the big secret.
I think that is super on point. And if you're not willing to find out what everybody on your team, and I really believe everybody, especially your top kind of five, right? But every person on that team, you need to know what every single one of their dreams and goals are. And if you're not willing to find that out and make it possible for them to accomplish those dreams within your organization or with you as a human, then you probably might not be suited to be an entrepreneur, honestly. Like, you're probably more suited to be a freelancer. And my distinction there is a freelancer kind of does gigs and just has more of a lifestyle business. It's a little less predictable, but it's cool. They make enough money, it's fine. Versus a business owner, entrepreneur who owns a company with people who work with you. Because what's going to happen is those people are going to leave. And so you can either underpay people and just churn through lots of people all the time, or you can attract top talent by offering them all the stuff they want, whether it's the impact they want, the freedom they want, the money they want, you pay them more, give them a profit right. share. Give them equity of your company. Like, why not if they're building it for you, right? Or offer them the opportunity to buy some for a very little amount of money, right? Or even sweat equity for their company, right? Like, there's all these ways you can allow people to live their dreams while working in your organization. And if you don't want to do that, then maybe you're not suited for what you're saying you're trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that I think is a good thing that we didn't even talk about this whole time. But I think like really figure out if you really want like the big dream. Like, maybe you only want to be a freelancer. Maybe you want the 10K a month, like work whenever you want lifestyle business. Like really address that. Like, because we all can say we want 100 grand a month, but like, you're not going to do that or 1 million a month, but you're not going to do that if like you don't have a sustainable, like, entire team. Like, you're going to have to leverage your time and leverage your assets and leverage your money. And so you're going to have to get like from bank loans to like a team of 10 to like building their dreams into your dreams. Like, there's a lot of like really like six essential things really, but like a lot of different things with operations and, you know, and finance and marketing and sales. Like, if you really want to build a huge business, like, there's a lot that goes into that. But if you just want, you know, 10, 20K a month and free time to do what you want, then own that and be okay with that, and don't try to work yourself backwards, right? Because you may be unhappy with building that big business. So like, really address what you that core thing, I think, is important.
Absolutely. You're not a worse person or a less ambitious person for being honest with yourself about what you want out of your life, right? Like, I think entrepreneurs get this. I definitely did. I had this ego about myself where I was like, I'm more special and more different than everybody else I grew up with, everybody I know. And I was different. I don't know if that makes me special or whatever, but, and they don't understand me because all they want to do is, you know, have a job that pays them like 50 grand a year, have a house in the suburbs, have their 2.5 kids with their picket fence. And for a long time, I was like, I'm better than that. But at the same time, that's not a worse life. And it was and is egotistical of me or anyone else who shares that belief that you're more ambitious or a better person for choosing to grow a business to $1 million or 10 million or 100 million or whatever your goal is, right? You're not a better person for doing that. You're the best version of you if you're doing exactly what you want to do. So if you're self-aware enough to say, you know, all I actually need to be happy, you talk about your freedom number, it's 40 grand a year, and I really like having kids, and I want to be able to spend a lot of time with them, and I don't want to have to work past 5 any day, like then that's perfectly fine, and you're not dumb for doing it, and you don't need, like, who cares, like, about quote-unquote legacy, like and all these other things. Like, maybe your legacy is having kids who don't suck, which is just as challenging. Like, So I think just being honest with what you really, really want. And I had this conversation with somebody, maybe almost a year ago, who was like, hey, I'm thinking about doing like online stuff. I was like, dude, like, he's like, do you have any advice? And I was like, just be honest with what you really want. Don't convince yourself. Like, because once you fall down this rabbit hole, you're going to find people who want to make, you know how many people you and I know who are like, yeah, I want to make $1 million a month.
Yeah, there's quite a few now.
Why? Like, it's okay if you have a good reason. I'm not knocking you for wanting $1 million a month. But because is not a good reason. You know, you need to have a legit reason, I think, or you're just not going to do it, right? I think the easiest way to get to $1 million a month is hire 5 people who want to be millionaires. Like, that's gonna force you to do stuff. Like, cool.
Yeah.
This has been a good one here, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. This has been a solid one.
For sure. All right. You have anything you want to say to kind of wrap it up? Put a bow tie on this one, man.
I mean, put a bow tie. I feel like you kind of did there. Like, I think I can really only piggyback off what you just said. Is just like, I think that the like, really, okay, so I guess I'll narrow it down, like, really philosophically real quick, since it's what I do for a living, you know. I kind of go there all the time. I can't help but do it. Human beings are driven off 2 things most of the time. Like, not necessarily 100% of the time. I'm not going to blanket statement all of humanity. But most of the time, it's either to avoid pain or seek pleasure, right? Those are, like, the 2 base things. Like, we either have a fear that we're trying to prevent from happening, or we have a desire that we really want to happen. And those can be linked together or not. But those 2 things. So, like, if you can step back for a moment and, like, check your goals and ambitions and, like, and your wants and whatever you're chasing, whatever reason you're listening to this, whatever reason you're following us or whatever you're doing, like, what is it, like, if you take away those 2 things, like avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, why do you really want to do any of the things you're doing, right? And I think that would stop a lot of people from probably getting into internet marketing and, like, getting online and, like, all these things that, like, or even, like, you know, with the fitness business, like, yes, you can build this huge business, but, like, what do you really want? And I think just knowing that and having that self-reflection is going to give you a good life. And I think that's one thing that I take away from, like, all our clients we've had, like, all the PT Freedom family, like the top ones that really make it and, like, really enjoy themselves, like, they go through the program and they find out what they want, right? They know what they want. The ones that get the best results from like, AR media and, like, the ads, like, everyone gets leads, but the ones that actually, like, sell and close and, like, have these good businesses, mm-hmm. are ones that know what they want. And I think that just comes down for, like, everything that you're doing, whatever business or life you want, like, just be okay with it. Like, if you want to stay in and have you want to have a lifestyle business, travel the world, you want to have a family, you want to be a multimillionaire, you want to, like, retire on an island, or you want to live in the suburbs in a Rambler, like, whatever it is you want, just, like, own that, like, properly, and, like, don't try to, like, fight for something that is not really your intention, you know. So
100%. Yeah, that was the best bow tie ever. Awesome, man. Corey, I think this might be a weekly date, you and me.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it for sure. Awesome. If you guys liked this podcast episode, let us know on social. You can find me at, you know, facebook.com/AJRivera. I believe you can find Corey at facebook.com/CoreyGladwell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you can always join our Facebook group. That'll be in the show notes as well. If you like it, subscribe. Leave a positive review. If you hated it, just don't say anything. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
And, just mind your own business. All right, cool. We'll see you guys next week.
thanks so much for listening to Freedom Trainer Radio with your host, AJ Rivera. We'll catch you next time.